I don't know if I've ever been more excited than I am right now. There's so many things to be excited about. This, the hearing about changed lives, about the youth went on this trip, and all, folks, I'm just fired up. I remember when I was a little boy. I'm not even started on my sermon notes yet. So, I remember when I was a little boy, and we would be in our den watching the Dallas Cowboys play football on the TV. We got 2.5 stations back then. And if you wanted the third station, you had to go out and twist it to get it in, but then you lost the other two. But we'd watch the game, and my dad would be sitting in his chair. It was feet propped up, we'd be watching the game. And when Tony Dorsett would break through the line, he'd run, my dad would slam the feet rest down, the foot rest down, jump up out of his chair, run towards the TV and say, "Run, Tony, run, run, run!" And then he'd have to get back to his chair and sit down. And that's excitement. That's excitement when we go to a ball game, or we, you know, if you watch it on TV and get off into it like my dad did, or you go to a concert, like the youth were part of a concert this week. Part of the thing was a concert. If we get all excited about that, or we go to a talent show and our child stands up and we get all excited, why is it that we come to church and we think we can't get excited about Jesus? We come to church and we think, well, this is the reverent place. And listen, it is that. Okay? Don't let anybody tell you that, or don't let anybody try to take that away from you. Okay? But God also gave us other emotions. And he gave us an excitable emotion. And if you read the Psalms and look at what David did when he got fired up and excited, folks, that's worship too. Okay? So listen, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If you're excited about anything today, tell God right now how excited you are about it. I had a couple things I want to start with this morning. I have a video that I found. And I'm going to get them to go ahead and just play that video. This is a video from a butterfly farm. And this is a caterpillar. He's up in a tree. This is time lapse, so this takes a long time, but they fast forward it through this. And you see he's building himself a cocoon. Is that ooey-goozy stuff coming out? It looks kind of gross. Looks like... Anyway. And he's building his cocoon. And again, this takes a long period of time. They just fast forward it. But he built his cocoon, then he wiggles inside like a sleeping bag, and then he pulls it over his head right there, and he just kind of sticks in there and gets kind of snuggled in, you know, kind of like you do in bed, and then he goes to sleep. And then, this is the same cocoon after several days, and then watch what happens. He comes back out, and he starts to climb out, and he goes, "Hang on, what happened? What's on my back? What are these things?" And he gives a shake around. And if you watch these wings that he's got now, or she, I don't know, it may be a girl. But they see how small they are? And watch over the period of time, they begin to grow and expand and dry out. And he'll flap them a little bit every once in a while and kind of wiggle. And they keep growing and growing and growing and drying out. How many of you would say that this dude is different than the caterpillar that was munching on leaves earlier? Would you say that it's different? Yes. It is different. But it's the same creature. The same DNA. It's the same organism. It's just been changed. It's now has a different look, has a different feel, has different capabilities. This guy can fly. The other one could fall. Okay? And the other one ate leaves. This one sucks the nectar out of flowers and stuff. It's different. It's been changed. It's been made new into something completely different. Isn't that something? I think it's cool how we can fast forward through an event like that and show you how things change. His wings just keep growing. His wings just keep growing. You notice he didn't just climb out and all of a sudden... He went to sleep, went in his cocoon, and flew, climbed out, and then all of a sudden he's able to do everything. No, it takes several hours, even days, to get fully developed to where he can And the same is true with us, folks. When there's been a change in us, we don't just one day wake up and we're all brand new. It's kind of a process. We have to adjust and get to know who we are now and learn what our new capabilities are, what our new limits are, and all that kind of stuff. I have some other pictures I want to show you that I took this last year. I believe it was in the spring. It's on the PowerPoint. This is a bug that it's hard to see. The picture's not that great. But you've seen these things. This bug right here, he climbs up on a post and then digs his claws in and he hangs there, right? And then after a period of time, the shell begins to crack. Go back one more. The shell begins to crack and out comes this alien-looking thing. Comes out of the shell. Okay, the next picture. And I took several pictures of this. Now this one is interesting because this thing has come out and it's different than what it was when it went to sleep. But you see his wings? See how they're kind of small and wrinkly and all that kind of stuff? Okay, go to the next picture. And he climbs out of his shell and he's just kind of hanging out there. See how his crooked wings are? He's kind of like wondering, what are these things? Next picture. Then his wings begin to straighten out. And he identifies them. He says, oh, they're wings. That's what those things are. They're kind of small, though. Maybe if I just hang out here for a little bit and look what happens next. His wings grow. They stretch out. They get dried out. They become useful. Now, this guy is a different creature now, right? But the old one didn't just get smashed and just start brand new. It was transformed into the new creature. I think, is that the last one? It is. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 17. And read through verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? Amen. Transformation, change, to be different. It's a way of life for the Christian. It's a way of life for us. It's not a one-time event. Listen, youth that just got back from the trip, it's not a one-time event. Okay? You don't just experience that one time and then now it's all, that's all you get. No, it's a life-changing experience. We all, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, must enter into a life-changing experience. We must go into the cocoon and come out different. We don't want to be who we are. And we'll do almost anything to change that. We'll go on crash diets. We'll have plastic surgery. We'll have new hairdos. I'm going to try a new one of these days. We go buy new clothes, new styles of clothes. We got to keep up with the styles, right? Bell bottoms and all that stuff are not in style right now. I don't even know what's in style. It happens so fast these days. But we do all these things, and we'll even like me. I went and even had a surgery because my body needed a transformation. It needed to transform from 400 pounds down to 270 pounds, and that was accomplished. But there was a transformation. We'll do all kinds of things to change. But in truth, all we really want to change is just the outside. We just want to look different on the outside, But a lot of us aren't that interested in changing the inside. A lot of us aren't interested in doing what it takes to make a lasting, true, genuine change. But we have to. Last night, I have a bottle of water, and I'm going to explain that real quick. Last night, I had a transformation. Something I had, I ate or something, caused an allergic reaction within my body. Now, this has happened to me about four different times, I think, now. But I noticed I got this little cough and this scratch in the back of my throat. Then it started hurting like it was just like somebody just took a fingernail and just scratched the back of my throat. And then it started kind of closing up a little bit. And I thought, uh-oh, I recognize this. I think I know what's happening. So I got up and took two Benadryl. And then just shortly after that, my bottom lip started swelling up and getting real thick and hard and it poked out like I could hardly talk right. And I knew that I was having an allergic reaction. I took the Benadryl, drank some hot tea to try to soothe my throat. And after about an hour and a half, it kind of started to go away. But this has happened to me before. And today, my throat is still kind of sore. That's why I have the water. But there were some things in my body that were transformed. I don't like that kind of transformation. Okay? And I thank the Lord that He gave Benadryl to reverse that transformation. Because otherwise, I might, the throat might have just kept on going. I don't know. But a transformation, we're familiar with change. We're familiar with transformations. We watch our children grow up and they transform from little boys and girls this tall to much bigger. Right? And then they start getting smelly and the hair starts growing all over the place and, they start getting dirty and start tracking stuff. There's a transformation that happens. We're all familiar with those kind of things. There was a man. He was selling a warehouse. He had a big warehouse and he put it up on the market. And this building had been empty for months. And it needed repairs. Gangs had come in. They damaged the floors. They had smashed the windows and they had thrown trash everywhere. And as he was showing this prospective buyer the property, the man took great effort to say, look, I'm going to replace all the broken windows. I'm going to bring in a crew to correct any structural damage. I'm going to clean out all the garbage for you. And the guy just said, forget about the repairs. He said, when I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I just want the site. Compared with the renovation that God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping out a warehouse that's doomed for the wrecking ball. See, we can't clean it up good enough to make it useful to God. Only God can do that. And God doesn't want to take our raggedy old warehouse and throw some paint on it and put some crack seal in the foundation, and He doesn't want to just fix it up. He wants to clear it out and start fresh and build something new and honorable. When we become gods, the old life is over, and He makes all things new. All He wants is the site and the permission to build His place upon it. That is your life. He wants to come into you with a wrecking ball, clean it out, and start fresh within you. Tabitha, He wants to begin a new Tabitha in the same site where the old Tabitha was, but it's going to be better. It's going to be new. It's going to be brand new. But the Bible does tell us how we can truly change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that first it is Christ. It is Christ. That if we are in Christ, that means if we have a relationship with Him, then He works, then He begins to work. To be in Christ was Paul's, one of his most favorite expressions, to be in Christ. He used it often. And to him it meant the very fact of being a Christian, that you are in Christ. To be in Christ is to have a close, an intimate, and a real relationship with Him. If you have that, then you are in Christ. Christ. I want to ask you, what percentage of Christian are you? What percentage of Christian are you? You may be thinking, well, I'm a 75% You're a Christian. And that's a C. So that's a passing grade. And I'm good with that. But listen, when I was in school, I loved C's. C's meant I passed. That was my goal. I shot for C's because that's all. I mean, you know, not a lot of effort, but just a little bit, just enough to get by. That was my goal. I love C's. And then as I became older and I got into college, then I strove for a little better. And I'll tell you, when I completed my master's program, I completed it with a 3.98 GPA, which is pretty good for me when I was striving for C's. In every class, I got an A, every one of them. And that was a miracle in itself, isn't it? Yeah, my wife would tell you. But I want to ask you, what percentage of Christian are you? Maybe I'm a little bit Christian, but I'm not a passing Christian. So maybe I've got like a 60% Christian percentage. But let me tell you something. It's a pass-fail. I've had some classes that were pass-fail. Didn't matter what your grade was. You either passed or you failed. And that's the way God grades. He didn't grade on the curve either. It's a pass-fail deal. Are you a passing Christian or are you a failing Christian? We are a new creation. We are radically changed. We go into a cocoon from munching on leaves to we come out flying on the wind. Wind. The breeze fluttering our wings. We're a new creation. This is not a minor modification. This is a major overhaul. And you don't evolve into a Christian. You don't evolve into a Christian. Yes, you should continue to grow in your walk. You should continue to, your behavior should continue to grow and become more mature. But you're no more a Christian today than you were yesterday. You can't become more Christian. You don't move from 70% to 80% Christian. You're either zero or you're 100%. But your walk continues to improve. Because the change isn't up to you. Here's the deal. You don't change yourself. You are changed. I'm going to talk about this in particular in just a moment because there's a concept we have to understand. You don't do the change. You just allow the change. Okay? There are two life-changing events that take place in this passage right here. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and everything has become new. Two life-changing events. Here they are. Number one, the old self is gone. The old self has to leave. You can't have the old warehouse and build a new warehouse on the same spot at the same time. The two cannot coexist. They take up the same space. You can't have the old and the new together. Wouldn't it be great if you get as you got older, you could just get new parts? I know that through the magic of modern medicine, you can have all kinds of things stretched and pulled and pinched and tucked and tweaked and enhanced and suctioned and peeled and all kinds of stuff. Barbara Rollins, you know Barbara Rollins, she's at home right now. She just had her knee replaced. She got a new knee replacement. She's got two new knees now. I told Floyd, I said, Floyd, I said, if she keeps going at it, you're going to have a brand new wife and you're still going to be this old man. What are you going to do? He said, well, she's still got some parts that she needs to replace. But we can do those, but all of that is only a matter of moving pieces and parts and just moving it around, replacing pieces so that no one can see the effects of how badly we've really treated our bodies. But what if we could take a part of our life that we didn't particularly care for and have it erased? How many of you would like to do that? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, there are things in my life that I would just assume that it never happened. And that's exactly what God does when you enter into that life-changing decision with Him. All the old stuff in your life, all the things you wish could go away and could never have happened, guess what? It's gone. It's gone. As far as God is concerned, it's gone. Now, you still may be reaping the, the fleshly consequences of that. If you've mistreated your body for years and years and years, you come to Christ and you change your behaviors and all that, your body's still going to feel the consequences of the abuse that took place earlier on. But as far as God is concerned, you're new. And that old stuff is gone. He doesn't just forget it. It's as if it never, ever occurred. And as far as he's concerned, it never did happen. Then he makes the second part. Old is gone, and every aspect of your life is now brand new. It's changed. It's different. The change that's promised by God is not one where things get hidden or glossed over with enough plastic or makeup or stitches. What God is talking about is a completely new and improved you. How many of you have ever seen the whatever you buy, and then they'll come out with a new and improved version, right? And I wondered, why didn't they just start with the new and improved to begin with? They changed it. They modified it. It's more effective. It's better now. You're not the same as you were. You're improved. Old parts are not hidden, but each part of your life is made new. Have you ever watched a child come in from playing outside? What are they when they come in from playing outside? They're dirty. They're dirty. And sometimes they're absolutely covered from head to toe with mud or dirt or dust or grease or whatever it is, depending on what they've been playing in. And listen, when they come in, you tell them, go take a bath. Go wash yourself. And sure enough, for once, they finally listen to you. And they go and they take that bath. And it's just awesome they do that. And then they come out of the shower, come out of the bathtub, and they go back and they put those old clothes right back on. Oh, yeah, I hear you. The mothers are going, oh, no. The guys are going, yeah, and? Unfortunately, people are just like that. People are just like that. They ask God to change them. And then they go back to wearing the same old clothes. Youth, if something happened to you this weekend, don't put on the same clothes you were wearing. I'm not talking about your physical clothes. Okay? Parents, I'm not suggesting you have to go out and buy a new wardrobe for your kiddos. What I'm saying is those behaviors, those other things that were part of you before, don't go back and put all that stuff on if there's really been a change in you. You can't go back to that old stuff. God doesn't clean the outer half. He doesn't just say, I'm going to scrub you up. I'm going to get the SOS pads and the magic erasers. You know, Mr. Clean has the magic eraser now. I'm not just going to polish your head and get all that stuff off of you. I'm not just going to clean the outside. He doesn't reshape it or even enhance it, the things that are already there. He works from the inside out to recreate. Just like the locust that went inside that, he went to sleep inside his shell and he came back out. When he came back out, that flesh is a little tender. It had to dry out and stuff. But it happened from the inside out. Inside out. All made possible by God's reconciliation. Okay, this is a key part of this verse. All this is from God who reconciled himself to us through Christ, verse 18 says. To change, to exchange, is to change from a hate relationship to a friendship. That's what reconciliation is. When there's a relationship that is not good and you change it to a relationship that is good, that is reconciliation. Okay? And oftentimes it takes reconciliation. Both parties have to come and meet in the middle, compromise, and say, I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sorry too. And let's forgive each other, yes, okay. There's reconciliation that takes place in that, okay? But we should note this distinction. In this passage, God doesn't meet us in the middle. It says that we are reconciled to God, not God reconciled to us. God says, here I am. Here I am. If you'll be reconciled, come to me. Come to me. If God had to meet us in the middle, it would indicate that he had done something wrong or that he was partly to blame for the distance in the relationship. But rather, we are reconciled to God, for it is us that's moved away. We're the ones that moved. Yet the Bible tells us how God has taken the initiative to reconcile man back to himself. He made the effort to change us, to reconcile us. He wants to change you, to modify you. So much that, listen, he became our sin. Verse 21 says, Christ never sinned, but God caused him to become sin for us so that we could be right with God in Christ. He made the way for us. Christ took on what we are in order that we might become what he is, so that we could be right with God in Christ. Think about this for a moment. He didn't just take our sin down with him off the cross and take it in the tomb and bury it with him. He actually took it on. He put it on himself. My sin, he took it and put it on himself. And in himself, all the things that I would do, all the things that I would become, because we will never be able to carry it or even to change, because you cannot recreate yourself. You can't recreate. You can't change yourself. You had this experience. You came to Christ one day. And then you walk away thinking, now I've got all these things that I have to change. I have to change. I have to change. I have to change. Yes, they have to change. But it's God that does the changing. It's God that does the changing. Being a new creation is not a label. It's not something where we walk around and just say, now I'm a Christian. I've got the label I can stick on my back, on my forehead, put the bumper sticker on my car, get the fish and put it on my car, and everybody will know that I'm a Christian, and that means I'm a Christian. It's not a label, it's a lifestyle. It's a change. Verse 20 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ himself were pleading with you, receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God. There are three things that you must do, though. Okay, if you're a note taker, here they are. Boom, 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 1, 2, 3. Number one, you have to admit something. You have to admit that you cannot make the change on your own. Changes that you make on your own never really last. I can't tell you how many times I tried to diet. And I would make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight this year, and I'm going to change this, and I'm not going to eat that anymore. And then the next day, it's like I wake up and I forgot what I said the day before, because I'm back to eating donuts and kolaches again, back at the donut shop, and stopping and having second breakfast. And the changes we make on our own never really last. But when you finally admit that you cannot change, that is, you cannot save yourself, you will find that he is ready. He's ready and he's willing and he's able to come in and do for you what you cannot do. So number one, you have to admit that you can't make the change on your own. And number two, you have to ask. You have to ask Christ to come in and seal that relationship, to come in and make the permanent change, to make the change last. You can admit that you're wrong, and you can admit that you're a sinner, and you can admit that you cannot change, but until you ask Christ to come into your heart and make that relationship real, you will never really, truly change. You see, he wants to come into your life, but you have to ask him. You have to ask him. And then, number three, that's the hard part. You have to allow God to have every area of your life. You see, it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night. You can't just sit back and say, all right, well, if God wants to change me, he'll do it. And if not, then he must like me like I am. It's all up to God. God, whatever. You can't just do that. It's a cooperation. You have to work with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is an area that needs to change. This is something about you that is not pleasing and honoring to me. This has to change. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I get that. I understand that. What is my part? Help me to do what I need to do to help you make that lasting change in my life. God will not force his way into your heart. Yes, he will make you feel uncomfortable until you turn it over to him. Anybody ever felt uncomfortable before? Has God ever made you feel uncomfortable? I've been there. Been there many times. I've thrown books across the room because God made me feel uncomfortable. Isn't that right, my wife? Yeah. I didn't throw it at her. But we were in bed one night when God really spoke to me one time and called me. And I grabbed the book that we were reading. I'll tell you, it's Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. If you want to touch something very dangerous, grab a hold of that book and read it. Work through it. And I took that, and it was just like everything that was generalized in that book was erased, and he had my name written all over it, and I was just speaking right to me. And I took it, and I threw it across the room and said, I'm done reading that book. But I wasn't really done. But he won't force us, but he'll make us very uncomfortable until we give in to him. And people wonder why they struggle in an area of their life, and they pray and they talk and they moan and they groan, but they never turn it over and allow God to change it. Because the Holy Spirit and self cannot reside in the same place. It can't happen. You can't have the old warehouse and the new warehouse on the same site. It cannot happen. They cannot coexist. Have you ever watched an old Western show or something and they said, partner, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. You ever heard something similar to that? It ain't big enough for the both of us. That's what God says. Partner, this heart ain't big enough for the both of us. It's either you or it's me. Which will it be? This place ain't big enough for the both of us. You will either be full of Christ or full of yourself. There is no 60-70%. There's no passing grade. It's an all or nothing deal with Christ. But here's the good news. The promise is that if you allow God into every area of your life, he will radically change you, and it'll work all things together for your good. You must want to fly so much that you're willing to give up being a caterpillar. If you're content with crawling on the limbs and reaching out and munching on leaves, if you're content with that, that's fine. If that's what your choice is, but don't call yourself a caterpillar. Don't call yourself a butterfly. If you're a caterpillar and you're content with just munching on leaves, don't purport yourself to have beautiful wings and you've got a butterfly mentality, and that you're just deceiving yourself is really because people look at you and go, you ain't no butterfly. I can see you got fuzz on you. And you're one of those ugly kind of caterpillars because you got the ones with the horns. And yeah, that's what you are. You say you're a butterfly, you're not a butterfly because I can see it. Listen, folks, people can see it in you. If there's been a life change, if you've been through a transformation and you transform from a caterpillar to a butterfly, people will know it. They can see it. If you've got a life experience, if you changed from being someone who doesn't believe in Christ or is not a believer in Christ to somebody that has received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, there will be a change. You will know it, and everybody around you will know it. There's a transformation. What a remarkable contrast. Truly, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Here's my question. Is that true in your life? Have all the old things passed away? And have all things become new? That's God's desire for you. That's what he wants you. He wants to bring you into that relationship, change you, transform you from the inside out, make you different, make you brand new, make you fly, make you soar on the with wings as eagles. Amen. Yeah? He wants you to fly. He doesn't want you to be content with munching on leaves the rest of your life. He wants you to be able to fly and experience new things and higher things. And taste the nectar of different flowers. That's what he has designed for you. But he won't do it unless you allow him to work in your life. What are our three things? You have to remember that you have to admit that you cannot make the change your own. You have to ask the Lord to come and make those changes. And then you have to allow him to do the work. And it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You know, I've said here recently several times that part of my passion is that I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get the brand new life, get the chills up and down their spine. I want to see that happen and watch a life-changing event take place. But here's, and I will always preach the gospel. I will always preach that Jesus is the only way. He is the life, the truth, and the way. And that nobody comes to the Father but through him. Now, I will always preach that. But listen, here's where my passion is. I believe that there are so many so-called Christians who are deceived. They're crawling around with all these legs saying, I'm a butterfly, I'm a butterfly, I'm a butterfly. And they're not. They're a caterpillar. There's so many Christians who walk around and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But you can look at them and say, I don't see how what you call being a Christian matches up with what the Word of God says a Christian is. Now, we're not to judge. We can't be the judge of that. But the Bible also says you'll know the tree by its fruits. My problem is, and my passion is, that there's so many people who think they're saved, who think they're a Christian, and they have not gone through the cocoon stage. They've not been transformed. And my mission in life is to reach those folks and to help them understand that, you know what, that's true. There has to be a change. There has to be a transformation if it's real. And if you're here today and you've been calling yourself a butterfly, but you're crawling around munching on leaves, I want you to know that you can crawl inside that cocoon. You can make that cocoon, crawl in there, allow God to change you from the inside out. You can come out a butterfly. Then you won't be lying to people when you tell them you're a Christian. If that's you today, oh, my friend, don't crawl out of this place. Fly out of this place. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ. You've never even claimed to have trusted in Christ. But you want to do that today. Oh, friend, there's no better day than today. Today is the day. Today's your day. Today's your day. Listen, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in this place today. I know it. I know it because he's always talking. The problem is not whether he's speaking or not. The problem is whether we're listening or not. And if you've heard him, if he's touched you with some word today, oh, friend, just respond to it. Respond to him. Come to Christ. Come, enter into that cocoon. Be transformed. Be changed from the inside out. I'll be standing here in the front. Rebecca, my wife, will be standing here with me. If you desire to come, and I'd love to pray with you. If you want to come and kneel at the altar is open. The prayer bench is open over here. Whatever your desire is, you come. Maybe you've been visiting the church and you want to join this church. Today's a great day to do that. We can make all that happen. But here's the deal. It is your choice. It is your decision. And I can't even convince you to do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you have the decision whether or not you're going to obey, or you're going to submit to that, or you're going to reject it. There is no percentage. It's pass fail. It's pass fail. You're going to walk out of here a failure, or you're going to walk out of here 100%. Your choice. Let's stand as we sing. I'm going to pray for us real quick. Father, we do love you. We honor you in this place. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your life-changing word and how it convicts us, how it changes us, how it molds us to be more like Christ. Father, may we be willing to go through that change process. May we be willing to desire the change and to allow you to change us. May we work with you in the process. Father, I pray for someone in this very room today that has been deceived, that has thought that they've gone through the motions, that they walked the aisle, they shook the preacher's hand, they said the magic prayer, they got wet, and Father, there's been no transformation in their lives. Father, I pray for that person today, that they would come to you and say, I want the change. Father, help us to respond to you in all honesty and all genuineness. In Jesus' name, amen. You come.